Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It with the Turners. And this section is called All Things Education. Before I introduce our guest for this afternoon, I want you to listen to a little clip and then we'll come back.
The handgun that was used in the shooting, what have you learned about who owned it and how it was obtained by the shooter?
We have asked our partners with the ATF to expedite what's called an ATF trace form to try to determine the origin of that weapon, who purchased it, and how it got from a manufacturer all the way into the hands of a 15-year-old girl. These are questions that's going to take some time to answer, and we're fully committed to getting the answer to that. I do not believe that 15-year-olds should have access to weapons that they can bring to school and potentially hurt someone. We really have to do a better job, not only in our communities, but in our country, with making sure that our young folks do not have access to weapons and firearms, and certainly making sure that we're paying attention to the mental health of our children. There's a lot of work that we need to do so that we cannot be having these conversations again and again and again on CNN and other news outlets.
Was the weapon owned or possessed by the parents?
I'm not certain at this time.
Still not certain at this time. At this time, you, as of last night, you were still questioning the parents. At this time, any reason to expect that they could be charged with any sort of crime here?
Well, we will certainly look at all facts and aspects of this case. As they were voluntarily giving information, that certainly helps to determine, you know, if they were involved or if they were, if this was pre-planned. We don't have any evidence that it was, but we also want to look at if the parents may have been negligent. And that's a question that we'll have to answer with our district attorney's office. But at this time, it does not appear to be the case. We will get a briefing again today, but we want to make sure that people know. That's a question that people have been asking me, but quite frankly, I don't want to speculate on that right now.
I understand. You say no evidence that it was pre-planned. We had reporting last night that after looking at social media posts and writings and whatnot, there was some thinking that this shooter had some kind of notion this was going to happen beforehand. What's the latest you can tell us about that?
Yeah, we have been made aware of a manifesto, if you want to call that, or some type of letter that's been posted by someone who alleged to be her friend. We haven't been able to locate that person yet, but that's something we're going to work on today. We'll also be looking through her effects if she had a computer or cell phone to see if there are any transmissions between her and someone else. And that will give us an idea of what type of planning. When I spoke earlier, I was talking about pre-planning where her parents may have been involved.
You just listened to a CNN interview with the police chief in Wisconsin, and he was just sharing some updates about the 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, who was the mass shooter last Monday, December 16th, at the Christian school. I want to introduce our guest for this evening. Pastor Wendell Martin, a native of Juliet, Illinois, has accepted the call to preach at 17 and was ordained at 20. He has served in various pastoral roles, including youth pastor, co-pastor, and currently he is the senior pastor of Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church in Juliet, where his biblically rooted leadership has revitalized the church through strategic vision, financial stewardship, and community engagement. Known for his practical and creative preaching, Pastor Martin is passionate about disciplining believers, community development, and advocating for educational and economic quality. Welcome, Pastor Martin. How are you today, sir? Pastor Martin, are you there?
Yeah, he dropped off. Okay. All right, honey. I think he's having some technical difficulties. And so we will we'll continue on.
Well, let me give you some figures here, Vicky.
Okay.
About the effects of shooting, because a lot of times we look at the victims, the people who died from the shooting and how that was affected. But, you know, there's a ripple effect to this thing that a lot of people don't realize. And 68% who see or survive a shooting are more likely to develop psychological disorders, PTSD, mental trauma, and depression. That's 68 people who might have saw or survived one. 144% are likely to develop a substance abuse disorder than those children who did not experience something like that. Mm. Then it has been 83 school shootings so far this year, averaging over one a week. 27 on college campuses, 56 in K-12 schools, 38 dead, and 115 injured.
Wow.
This is a problem. This is a problem. And we need to address that problem, and we need to find out what we need to do with that problem, who's responsible, how we can work together to see how we can stop this almost epidemic thing, because it's coming at such a rate, an alarming rate, and it's coming so often. So it's a sad indictment on where we are now.
Well,
exactly.
I've not interviewed one of them, but I have enough experience with parents to know what that probably was like. And then to have a student to come in and shake the very core of their foundation, and which is so disheartening. But one thing it shows us, that sickness, and that baby was sick.
Yes.
That baby was sick. Sickness is no respecter of persons. It's not a respecter of environments. We think that just because you have your children in a certain environment, they're going to be protected from mental illness. That is not true.
That's right.
You think if you have them in a certain neighborhood, they're going to be protected. It's not necessary.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not necessarily true, because bad things happen to good people every day. But our hearts are heavy because there are no winners here. Even the survivors, as you have shared, they will suffer from the trauma.
Yes.
Of having lived this thing up close and personal. So it's incumbent upon the community. It's incumbent the larger community, the smaller community, to come together with solutions that are going to impact our children for better. We have to. I think that one of the reasons we invited Pastor Martin to this discussion, because there's a clarion call for the church.
Yes.
You know, we oftentimes want to pontificate about NRA rights and having more controls over that community. And we can do that, and that's a good conversation. But in the meantime, because politics can get involved and weigh down issues and keep us from progressing as a community.
Exactly.
We wanted to invite the pastor to the table to share what is the clarion call of the church in situations such as this. I think that he's been able to work through his technical issues, and I believe we have Pastor Martin with us. Are you with us, Pastor Martin?
I am.
Welcome, Pastor Martin. Thank you, sir. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope that you were able to, and it's good to hear your voices. I knew you when you were here in Atlanta at the House of Hope, and so I'm so happy that you're back and you're ministering at another level. But I know when you were here, you were one of our youth pastors at House of Hope, and so you can bring a perspective about what is pervasive among our youth and what may be some of the solutions. But you certainly have been glued to the TV, and you've heard about the situation in Madison, Wisconsin, and we want to talk about what your thoughts are. What is the position? What is the responsibility of the home? What is the responsibility of the school and the church?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think when I look at it from a holistic standpoint, serving as pastor of youth and young adults at the House of Hope Atlanta, for 4 years, and prior to that, serving a number of years as a youth pastor. I've tried to always stay in contact with students and know what's going on at their level. One of the things that I've constantly said to parents is, and now I even reiterate this as a senior pastor back in Illinois, I'm about 40 minutes outside of Chicago. So, of course, you all have heard about the violence in the Chicagoland area.
Yes.
And we know how that all works. It makes national news. The first thing that I always say, it is parents' jobs to disciple their children.
Mm-hmm.
As a youth pastor, oftentimes parents would bring their kids to church, and it was my responsibility to lead them to Jesus and to disciple them. And I tell parents, no, my responsibility as a youth pastor is to come alongside you, mm-hmm. to partner with you in rearing your children in the admonition of the Lord. Like, church and preachers and pastors and youth pastors cannot become substitutes for poor parenting at home.
That's right.
Now, when we start talking about what the role of the church is, I think the role of the church, more than anything, is to be that system of accountability, is to hold parents accountable to do and be what they know their God-given rights and responsibilities are. So if these are your children, it is your responsibility to lead them to Jesus. I say that to our congregation all the time. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I have twin 10-year-old boys. And all three of my children have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. All three of my children have been baptized. But I make sure my church knows my children didn't give their life to Christ in children's ministry at church. They gave their life to Christ in their bedroom when their dad led them to Jesus.
You know, Pastor, let's talk about the church of your childhood. If you could describe mm-hmm. it for us, and how involved was the church in your life?
So the church was central in my life. I mean, I'm also a PK, so I recognize mm-hmm. that my reality isn't everyone's reality. My dad pastored for 36 years before retiring in 2018. So I was always at church. I tell people all the time, my parents had a drug problem. They drugged me to Sunday morning service. They drugged me to afternoon service. They drugged me to choir.
Yes.
They drugged me to Bible school. Like, we were in church all the time. But I also recognized that, like, at some point, we have to come out of church and go be the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
So even like my house growing up, you know, my brothers and I, we love basketball. We love sports as my dad did. So mm-hmm. like all of my friends would come over to our house and play basketball. And there was a standard at my house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a standard, like you couldn't do anything. You couldn't say anything. Everybody was welcome. Like, I remember we had a rule in our backyard where we could not play basketball during church, and no one in the neighborhood could play basketball on our rim during church. So my dad used to always make everybody know, make it known, hey, fellas, don't come jumping in my yard during church. We go to church around here, so you ain't got to go to church with us, but nobody plays on our basketball rim during church hours. I want to see y'all at somebody church.
So you think the standards are pretty flexible or fluid now? They're not as rigid or solid as they should be, or were at one time?
No, man, these soft parents today giving kids options
mm-hmm.
about whether or not they're going to go to church. And mm-hmm. I get it. We're trying to be, you know, more culturally relevant church for, and I'll speak for, especially for African-Americans. Like, there was a time when church was the nucleus of our community. It was where we gathered. Like, there was a time where, you know, this is what everybody did on Sunday morning.
Right.
But now, as, you know, as African-Americans have become more affluent, we've gotten, you know, we've become upper middle class. We got AAU sports on Sunday mornings and everything else going on. And then it's like, I don't want to go to church. I got brunch. I got these plans. And I'm not saying church has to be your whole life, but you get out what you put in. And now some of these folks who have obtained, you know, the socioeconomic status they want, they live in the kind of house they want, the kind of neighborhood they want, they're raising the type of children they want, but then those same children, when life starts happening, they can't take it because they have nothing else to hold them together.
Great point, Pastor. That's a powerful statement and a wonderful one for us to hold on for just a moment, because we're going to a break. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Let's Talk About It with the Turners and Pastor Martin on News and Talk, WAOK, the voice of the community. Give us a call. Be a part of this conversation. Our number is 404-726-1380. We'll be right back.
Everybody, no more more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking.
This is a wake up call, honey. You've turned into Let's Talk About It with the Turners and News and Talk WAOK. It is a clarion call for us to wake up. And we have Pastor Martin, Wendell Martin, from Illinois with us. And I thought about, I listened to the clip, Pastor Martin, that you shared. It's very much how my husband and I raised our children. And we made some conscious decisions and when they were young children, that the buck stops with us. And that we were seeking out partnerships. We gave them the foundation for who they are, what our faith was, what our belief systems are. And we sought out partnerships that would build upon that and not tear it down. And it sounds like that's what you are saying, that same thing, that so many people have abdicated the responsibility for the training of their children, and they've given that responsibility over to others, others being defined as the church, others being defined as the media, others being defined as the neighborhood. Others bring the identity to their children when parents should be the ones that establish who these children are. Can you build upon that for me, Pastor Martin?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's imperative that parents understand that all of our identity for the believer lies in Christ. Mm-hmm. But even if you look from a socioeconomic standpoint, from an historical standpoint, making sure your children know who they are historically and what they come from historically. This is kind of where I even challenge churches to be more holistic in their approach to children's and youth ministry, because the unique nuance that African Americans have in this country is that, you know, we're trying to get people to Jesus and we're trying to get folk free at the same time. you're talking about, you know, we're trying to get people to Jesus and we're trying to advocate for economic equality, for educational equality. You're talking about a system that has been rigged against them. But in many cases, it's because a lot of these young folks don't understand the magnitude of history, positive history that we have. They don't know about Black Wall Street. They don't know about, you know, all of the innovations that African Americans have been responsible for. So for them, their world is their reality. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole different world outside of what they're experiencing on TikTok. And it's churches' responsibilities to expose these young people to that. So, yes, we want to get them to Jesus, but also teach them culturally, historically, you know, create programs that advocate for violence prevention through the arts, provide opportunities for kids to do more violence prevention through athletics and things of that sort. Leadership training for students, not waiting until they get in trouble and being reactive, but saying, okay, what do students need? The Search Institute is a nationally recognized development institute. They study development in adolescents, and they have a thing called the 40 developmental assets. And this is one of the things I encourage churches to do, is don't just have church and teach people how to get to Jesus, especially children, but study them. Study how they grow and how they mature. Look at those the developmental stages that the students have and these developmental assets, and see how can a church, statistics say the average suburban student gets 19 of the 41 developmental assets, which are the assets that the adolescents must contain to be a successful adult. But statistics also say that urban students get 17 of the of the 40. So it's not a huge difference between the number, it's which ones they get. So churches have to look at those 40 developmental assets and say, what are those things that help adolescents go from a child to a mature, productive, healthy adult? And how can the church supplement for those things that the child may not get naturally? The supplemental industry in the United States of America is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is the assumption that you're not going to eat everything that you should eat. So just in case you're not eating the things that you should, we'll provide supplements for you to be able to catch up on those things. I think that's what the church needs to be doing. So, you know, not just having youth groups where we're teaching people about Jesus, but, hey, y'all need to have a credit recovery program at the church.
Yes.
So those students who got kicked out of high school because they don't have enough credits, they can get those credits at church in a God-honoring environment that's going to help these students and folks. So we got to do more than just have church.
Tell me this, Pastor, and you like I said earlier, you heard the news, a 15-year-old, that's right at about somewhere between 9th to about 11th grade, depending on when they started school, usually it's about a 10th grader. You worked with youth. And what are your thoughts? Do you see this level of troubled minds among the young people that you work with? How do you manage that? Do you sit down with parents if you see something that's troubling with a young person in your congregation? I'm just trying to see. Oftentimes, people bring their challenges to the church, and the church should be structured in such a way, whosoever, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come. But when they come, they have some unique challenges. And so you try to preach a relevant message on a Sunday, teach a relevant message on Wednesday, but it's so much more than a Sunday and a Wednesday. It's an everyday thing. And so when you see those kind of ideations, did you see with children thinking of suicidal thoughts or violence or anger, frustration? What's the answer for the parents from the church?
Absolutely. So seeing those and the first thing that I say to parents is, like, you've got to get involved in this. Like, you cannot stick your head in the sand and pretend like it's going to go away. This is not something you're going to be able to just pray away and just throw some oil on them and be done with it. Mm. But, like, when you're talking about issues where there's a chemical imbalance, there's emotional, there's they're fascinated with, you know, death and, you know, suicide, things of that sort, you've got to engage professional help as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is the I know African Americans have this stigma about counseling,
right,
and therapy, and folks say, I don't want anybody to think I'm crazy or my kids are crazy. As much as Black folks have been through in this country, like, to say you crazy, that's a compliment. if that's all that you got going, you know, like, not being afraid. So for me, the helpful thing for me, my wife is a high school counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife has been a full-time high school counselor for well over 10 years. Before that, she was an educator in the classroom, special education teacher. So I always have that balance and that reference there, because I'm always looking at how do we combine the spiritual and the therapeutic at the same time. Sometimes it's a spiritual issue. It's demonic influence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what I let my child see with their eye gates, what I let them hear with their ear gates. I didn't protect them from these things. So a lot of these, you know, these ideals they have about things like suicide, they're getting these ideas from various places, whether it's music, whether it's social media, whatever the case may be. So I can fight it spiritually. I believe that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I believe that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness. So knowing that, I also know that there is a way by which they come. So let me look at if there's an emotional or a psychological way by this. Sometimes it's grief. You know, the young person lost a close loved one at an early age, and they're grieving. And adults don't always know how to process grief. So you're talking about a 15, 16-year-old,
exactly,
whose hormones are all over the place and whose emotions are all over the place, having to process the death of a loved one. That's where grief counseling comes in, like, getting these kids in counseling, getting them the things that they need ahead of time and not waiting until something goes wrong and we see those red flags. So it is praying for them spiritually. It is getting them the help that they need emotionally and mentally, like having checkups, talking with your kids, and then training workshops for parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Teaching parents, hey, this is how you engage with your students. We've done workshops showing parents how to look through their child's room. Like if you want to find drugs or whatever the case may be, I can tell you everywhere they hide them, how they hide them, what they hide them in. so we teach parents those things. Be engaged. Be involved. Find out. Like it is your responsibility to get involved. And in those cases where these kids do not have a healthy family, that the church is, should be there. The church should be that supplement.
Pastor Martin, this is the kind of information we need on CNN and on Fox News. This is what will bring deliverance and victory and cause this situation that happened to be preventable in the future. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you. Thank you for the work you're doing for the kingdom. And thank you for the work you're doing in the community and for our students. So we wish you the best. We're looking forward to meeting you when you come back to Atlanta. Give us a call so we can get together.
You know what, honey?
Absolutely.
As we close, Pastor Martin, I agree with Rob. I'm going to just throw this in real fast. I want to challenge you, having been on the other side of this thing, been in education up close and personal, we need partnerships in the schools.
And absolutely. So
I hope that your community of your colleagues that are in ministry with you, that you form an alliance of those that are willing to take a day or a week or something to go into our schools and knock on the doors of our school and tell them that you're there as a part of the solution for what is going on with our children that's showing up at our churches eventually. And so I've seen that in action here in Atlanta. It works. It's needed. And I implore you with your colleagues in the Illinois area to continue that fight at another level inside that schoolhouse. Helping those teachers and that admin staff to manage our youth and some of the challenges that they're facing. I hope so.
Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
Have a wonderful Christmas. Stay safe.
And we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It with the Turners on News and Talk, WAOK, the voice of the community. We want you to be a part of our conversation, so call us. Our number is 404-726-1380. We'll be right back.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.